Well, good morning. God is good. And all the time. Amen. Was a joy to be here. As many of you know, this Tuesday is Veterans Day. And we just want to take just a moment and say thank you to all those who have served in the military. If you have served, or if you're a veteran, or if you're actively serving, would you stand right now just so that we can thank you for your time? Y'all stay standing for just a moment. While they stay standing, if you have a family member who is serving right now, would you stand so that we can also recognize you for that sacrifice? I see one, two, three, several. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. And we want to pray for all of y'all and all of our veterans. So Father, we just come before your throne, Lord, and we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we have in this nation. First, because of what you have done, giving your Son that we may have life and life abundantly. And Father, for putting on the hearts of those to serve this country. Father, we thank you for the men and women who have served, who have given of their time, who have given and sacrificed time away from their family, who have put themselves in harm's way so that we could even come here today and have the freedoms that we have. So Lord, we just thank you and we pray blessings over them. Father, many of our veterans come back from war with a lot of pain and hurt. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just comfort them today. Father, I pray that we would support our veterans, that we would honor them, and that we would pray and lift them up and walk alongside as they return home from protecting the freedoms that we have. So Father, we just thank you on this Veterans Day weekend, Lord, for all those who have put themselves in harm's way that we may have the freedoms that we have. Now, Lord, we just love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. It's in your precious and holy name, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's just tell them one more time how thankful we are. So I do have a few announcements that I want to share with you. Tuesday, our office will be closed as we observe Veterans Day. And so if you come up here on Tuesday, you will find none of us here. Come back on Wednesday, particularly at 4:30 for dinner. And then also Wednesday night, we are having a Operation Christmas Child packing party. What does that mean? But we're going to have Miss Melanie purchased multiple items to go inside these shoe boxes, and we're going to have them all out, and we're going to be able to take boxes and go and pack those together. So if you want to be a part of that, it's going to start at 6 o'clock. All of our different groups that we're meeting, like my discipleship group and Randy's group, they're all going to be a part. Is the choir part of that? The choir is a part of it as well. We're all going to be having just a time of packing these boxes to send them all over the world. Now, yes, it's going to be fun, and we're going to enjoy that time together, but let's also take that time and pray over these boxes as we're filling them, so that we can just pray that the one who opens this, that their heart would be open to the truth of the gospel, for we do this for the kingdom of God. Now, also, you can sponsor a box. Sponsorship is about $25. You can do that online. About $10 of that goes to the shipping, and the other goes to what's going inside. So if you want to be a part of this, you can go online. You can also give in our offerings and tithe boxes at each of the doors. Just make sure you mark that appropriately, and we'll make sure that it gets to the right place. And that's going to be at 6 p.m. in the lobby is where we're going to be meeting. Dinner's still going to be served at 4:30. Come and have dinner with us, and then we will go over to the lobby for that packing party. Also, we are going to be doing or giving gifts to the children of the Light of the Village. There's 72 students in their aftercare program, and we are going to be making donations to help purchase gifts for Christmas. The suggested gift is $25, but any amount is accepted, obviously. And we want to give a gift to each of these students in the name of Christ as they celebrate Christmas this year. So if you are interested in being a part of that, you can also just mark that on a envelope or in the far area of your check, and you can place that also in the boxes around. I have one last announcement that I want to share with you, and I know that I don't get to share all these things every time, but many of you have been praying for my mother-in-law, Leslie's mother. I'll get it in a minute. And she got her report. Many of y'all know that she's been dealing with stage 4 cancer, from cancer in multiple areas, but she got her report Wednesday or Friday, and the tumors that were in the bones are completely gone. And amen. And her liver is back to normal. So it's just, we're just rejoicing in what God has done. I've told many people we would rejoice either way because God is in control. But man, it sure feels good to be able to say, praise God for this incredible report. Well, I got to share with Leslie, and I were sitting there, and she was on the phone with her mom, and her and her dad got to hear that. I told them there's about 1,000 people in Mobile, Alabama praying for her. And so we just rejoice, and I just want to thank you so much. I've had so many people asking me that I just felt like I should just go on and share that from here so that you would all know. With that being said, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin today. Father, you are so, so good. And Lord, no matter what comes our way, you are good. And Father, we are just trusting you for all things. Now, Father, today as we come into this room together, may we come with a pure heart. Father, if we come into this place right now and there are things that are distracting us or areas of our life that are not pure before you, Father, I pray that we would just right now just repent and just turn to you. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord but who has clean hands and a pure heart? Father, may we prepare our hearts right now to worship in spirit and in truth. Father, that when we see the words on the screen as we sing, Lord, may they be from the overflow of our heart. Father, as we open up the book of Malachi today, may we have hearts that can hear, ears that can hear what you are speaking, and may we place it into our lives. Father, most of all, we want you to be glorified in all that's said and done. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. We're so glad that you chose to worship with us today. We are going to be singing a bunch of really great songs. And thank you for last week listening to Latreo from the University of Mobile as they came with 3 all-new original songs. They've already given me the music, and so we're going to be looking at incorporating those soon. We had a great trip. We're so glad to be back with our family. Thank you for all the appreciation that you've shown to our leadership team and to me and my family. We love you guys. So let's stand. Why don't you welcome each other as we begin to sing today.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone,
yes,
Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a hope and a life, that you've made us new creatures in you. Thank you for giving us that living hope of salvation through your blood.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished. The end is written.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory.
Amen.
To wear my sin and bear my shame.
Sing this today.
The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Hallelujah.
Declare the grave has no claim on me.
may be seated as we continue in worship today. Jesus, along with his followers, sitting on the mount, Jesus gave this sermon. He said this, "For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Lord, let us love you heart, soul, mind, and strength, and let you take care of the rest. Amen.
Look at the flowers and all of their beauty. I don't have to wonder. You know what you're doing. So why would I worry at all? 'Cause you're faithful to supply everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it, my Father has it, yeah. Oh, my Father has it. Look at the sparrow, lacking for nothing. No fear of tomorrow and what it will. If I have you, I have enough, 'cause your love will satisfy. Oh, everything I need, everything I need. My Father has it, my Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. Seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. 'Cause I know my God's not empty-handed, and he gives us blessings up. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, seek first the kingdom and its treasures. Everything else will be added. All that I'm needing, I know the Lord will provide. I know my God's not empty handed, 'cause he gives us blessings upon blessings. I'm still believing. I know the Lord will provide. Oh, oh, oh. Everything I need, everything I need, my Father has it. My Father has it. Every single time the Lord will provide. My Father has it. My Father has it. Everything I need.
And he will provide according to his riches and glory. And he's told us that. We want his will to be our will, to align those two things, because he's given us good things to do so that we can operate in his strength. And that's what we're going to do today. So let's just ask for that today. God, today we just want your strength. We want to be able to give your mercy and your grace and your kindness to all those that are around, Lord. We say right now, give us more faith, Lord. We love you and we praise you in this moment and in this day. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. We give you our everything today. Amen. Heidi will lead us in this song.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace.
Would you sing with us today?
My hope, my hope.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we say that today, that you are the reason that we can sing. You are the reasons that we gather here today in this place to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, knowing that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, they are few. So today we pray that you would send us out and that you would bring the rain as we till that field, Lord, and that it would be as it is in your kingdom today. Lord, that you would forgive us our sins so that we can forgive those that have sinned against us, Lord. That you provide all our needs according to your riches and glory, as you've told us that you would. Lord, we ask for wisdom. We know that you are faithful and just to give it, Lord. We know that we can trust you. We pray that none of our way would creep in, Lord, that we would not wander, though we are prone to do so. Lord, give us that fount of every blessing so that we might pour it out today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Help me see you. I need to know that you're near me, Lord.
Fear not, I am the Lord your God, and trust that I'm working all things out. So in the field of doubt, plant a seed of faith. Bring the rain, bring the rain.
And it won't stay the same. From glory to glory, you're writing my story. When it rains, when it rains, so let it rain.
Let it rain, let it rain. Things start to change. So bring the rain, bring the rain. It won't stay the same. The Lord your God, and trust that I'm working all things out. So in the field of doubt, plant a seed of faith.
Plant a seed of faith.
My story, when it rains, let it rain.
That was a great song. I've never heard that song before. And, you know, I have a saying that things that are alive grow, right? Things that are dead don't grow. And I've told you all before, if you want to see things that are dead, come look at the things that I plant at my house. And you can see those. But things that are alive grow. God is growing us through the rain, through all the things that happen in our life. So often we say, why, God? And sometimes we may not know exactly why. Maybe it's later in life, but it's through some of the hardest times of life that we see the most growth in our life. And so always remember that things that are alive, they grow. And so we are to be growing in Christ every day, which is one of the vision statements here at Luke 4:18. Know Christ intimately, grow in Christ daily, and go in Christ throughout the world. If you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, open up to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to be in verse 13 through 18. This will, I probably don't need to say this just yet. After next week, it will be the first time that I have planned out the sermon series and I actually finished on time, believe it or not. So we have one more week next week in Malachi chapter 4. And then the following week, we'll be looking at the Psalms speaking about Thanksgiving as we prepare for the wonderful Thanksgiving holiday. Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 through 18 has been a unique study for me. I studied it, prepared, but it felt very easy to kind of put together in my heart and mind. And I started asking, I was like, Lord, there's some passages that are really tough and some that are a little bit easier. Why does this one feel just so easy to kind of put together? And the Lord just began to show me, because this is really a story of my life. Throughout the years of my life, I see myself in all the aspects that we see in Malachi chapter 3, 13 until the end, verse 18. And so as we look at this today, I'm going to share pieces of my testimony and how it kind of relates to this in Malachi chapter 3. It says this in verse 13. Your word, this is the Lord saying to the people, your word has been arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? And you have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his charge? And that we walk in mourning before the Lord of hosts. So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are the doers of wickedness built up, but they also test God and escape. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. And the Lord gave attention and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem his name. They will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I have prepared my own possession. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. Father, we just thank you so much for this message, this passage. Father, today as we look at this, Lord, I pray that you would just place it into our lives and that we would walk in accordance to it. Father, I want to just thank you for the song, the last song that the choir sang, yet not I, but Christ in me. For Father, that is truly the heart behind this, for we can do nothing on our own accord but Christ in us. And so Father, I pray today that as we look at this passage, Lord, that we will just let the Holy Spirit just illuminate the pages, and may you be glorified. It's in your precious and holy name, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We see in verse 13 that the Lord says to the people through Malachi, he says, listen, you have spoken arrogantly about me. You have spoken things that are against me. Now, that word arrogant in verse 13 actually means strong. You have spoken strongly against me, against the Lord. And so then this question that has been posed many times throughout the book of Malachi is, how have we done this? Why do we need to repent? Why? We haven't done anything wrong. And they ask again in verse 13, they say, what have we spoken against you? And the Lord says in verse 14, he says, you have said that it's vain to serve the Lord, and what profit is it that we keep his charge? The first thing that we see in this passage is that the people were keeping the charge or the law. They were doing religious things in order to gain something from the Lord. Now, in verse 18, the Lord actually divides these into the wicked and the righteous. And the first one in verse 13, 14, and 15, he is speaking about the wicked. So what did they do? But they desired in their heart to do things for the Lord in order to receive something. Now, we call that in our day and age legalism. Now, think about this for a moment. They wanted to go forth and follow these rules and these regulations so that they would profit. They had a self-seeking heart. And then in that moment, it says, what have we gained from this? For we even mourned before the Lord of hosts. That word mourning is this idea of repenting in some sense. It's this idea of coming down and just brokenness. It actually means darkness, like darkness over you, like a painful thing that you recognize that you have done something against the Lord. And here they are saying, hey, we even mourned. We even did all these things, but we didn't gain anything from this. And because of that, they said, it is in vain to worship the Lord or to follow you. That word vain in verse 14 means that it is fruitless. There is nothing to gain. It's worthless. So here the people are saying, we've done what you told us to do. We didn't receive what we wanted to receive. And therefore, it is worthless for us to continue in this path. I told you that some of my testimony is in this. Many of y'all have heard my testimony and my story. But when I was in high school, I was running for the Lord and learning all about Scripture and how to do this and how to have a good quiet time and to pray three times a day or however many times a day and all these different things. And listen, later in high school, any day that the church was opened, I would be there because I wanted to make sure that I did everything that I knew to do according to the Scripture. But what I didn't realize in this was I was attempting to check boxes so that I could say that I was a strong Christian. I thought that if I did all these things, that the Lord would look on me and give me a prosperous life. Why? Because look at what I've done for you. I had missed the heart of the matter. My focus was on doing right instead of simply being in Christ. And so when I went off to college and began to live there in college, I tried to continue these rules and regulations. Well, as long as I continue to do this, everything will be okay. But the problem is that I couldn't keep the rules in my own power, my own strength. And I literally got to a place my freshman year of college where, and listen, I was surrounded by godly people. I was not running with a crowd that would lead me in astray. But I just got to this place where I said, Lord, it feels like it's in vain of following all these rules because I can't keep them. I feel like it's fruitless. I feel like I'm just running in circles, God. Like, I'll get this area of my life fixed, and then I'll go over to fix this and follow the rules and regulations, and this over here would fall apart. And I just was juggling all this stuff to the point that I finally said, Lord, I'm just done with this. I'm done with trying to live to all these rules and these regulations. And look at what happened in the story of Malachi in verse 15. They first were very legalistic, trying to live according to the rules and expecting something from the Lord, self-seeking. In verse 15, it says, so now we call the arrogant blessed. Now we say that the wicked are get away with what they've done. They've tested the Lord and they've escaped. The people have gone from this idea of legalism to say, hey, I can't fulfill it. I can't do it. And so therefore, I'm just going to go over here and just have fun with life. And that's the story of my life for about 2 years. Praise God, he continued to just keep his just hands around me, that every time that I wanted to just jump into the deep end of the world, the Lord would hold me back, praise God. The fear of the Lord was still there, but I was tired of trying, that I would literally say, hey, listen, I'm just going to go and I'm just going to enjoy life. And that's what the people of Malachi were saying. They literally went from this idea of legalism all the way to this idea of a license to sin. Well, it's okay. We've tried doing the things that we're supposed to do, and it didn't gain us anything. So now we're just going to go and do the things of this world. Let me just read to you again, verse 15. So now we call the arrogant blessed. Not only are they doers of wickedness built up, not only are they encouraged, not only are they saying, like, look at these people, look at what they're gaining and how much fun they're having. But he says, but they also test God and escape. They have responded with this license to sin. In our day, oftentimes we call this cheap grace. God saved me, so I don't have to follow the law anymore. I can do as I please, even if it leads to sin. Why? Because God will forgive me. So I'm just going to live my life. What I want you to see is that legalism and a license to sin, which are two opposite ends of the spectrum, are both a heart focused on self. Legalism is, I'm going to follow these rules so that people can see what I'm doing, that I can feel like I'm this strong Christian, look at me. And a license to sin is hey, listen, there's forgiveness, I can go do whatever I want. I want to experience life. And that's what they did. They went to both extremes in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. And in my life, I've been to both extremes. Now, I've jokingly said, but it's not as much of a joke as it is reality, that I'm a recovering legalist. I've been a recovering legalist for over 20 years, praise God. And he's been strengthening me every day. But we can't run to the opposite side. What we have to do is let God transform and change our heart. This is why I said in the prayer that I love the song that Aaron sang and the choir sang, not I, but Christ in me. Many of y'all know, and we'll get to this in just a second, but the changing, the moment that God just had an absolute change in my life was when I realized I can't do it anymore. I must seek the Lord to do this. When my heart shifted from a self-focused to a God-focused. But let's just look for just a second, because the scripture is clear in the New Testament about legalism and about the license to sin. It speaks about both. Now, all throughout the Gospels, we see the legalism of the Pharisees. If you want to look specifically, go to Matthew chapter 23. Now, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but you see the woes to the Pharisees, right? You see them saying, or Jesus saying to them, hey, listen, you are leading, you're the blind leading the blind. You're focused in on the rules and the regulations, but yet you don't understand justice and mercy. He begins to tell them, hey, your focus is on yourself, not the kingdom of God. To give the best example of this, we see the prayer of the publican and the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18. Verse 10 through 14, two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank God that I'm not like other people, cheaters, sinners, and adulterers. I certainly am not like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood a distance, daring to even lift up his eyes, could not even lift up his eyes to the Lord. Think about this for a moment. The Pharisee is saying, look at what all I've done. I've checked all the boxes. I'm better than the tax collector. He hasn't done any of that. The tax collector, with a humble heart, cries out to the Lord, and he beats his chest in sorrow and says, God, be merciful to me. I am a sinner. And then what did Jesus say? I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home, justified before God. church, we see this in the scripture, that the Pharisee is literally saying, look at what all I've done, the legalism. But then we also see Paul's statements throughout the book of Romans and many other places. But I'll just simply look at chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. And then this, he says, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? And then he says, may it never be. How shall we who died to sin live in it? So we see that in the New Testament that Jesus speaks specifically against legalism, and then through the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul, we see that there's also not a license to sin. It's not either side of this. So what is it? Well, we see in Malachi chapter 3, verse 16, what it is. It says this, and those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Those who feared the Lord. See, the legalistic and the license of sin is a heart focused on self. But the righteous has a heart focused on the Lord. That word fear, and we've talked about this multiple times, it means to have reverence towards, to have honor towards. Those who fear the Lord, those who place the Lord in His rightful place and humble themselves before Him and have reverence to Him, it says the Lord gave attention to them and heard them. And then he said a book of remembrance was written before Him for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. Well, this is very interesting. What do we first see here but the heart of the righteous? Their heart fears the Lord. Their heart is about the kingdom of God. I love what Dr. Charles Smith spoke last week. And I believe that this goes hand in hand. When we truly have a fear of the Lord, right? The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. To fear the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom. When we truly have a heart that honors and has reverence towards God, then we will recognize that He placed us in this moment, that He's the one who's given us the message, and that we are to fulfill the mission that He's called us to. That's what Dr. Charles spoke about last week. By the way, I was so overwhelmed by that message because how often do people come to me? Probably weekly. David, do you know how bad it is in our culture? Do you know how bad it is in our society? Do you know how bad things are? There's a government shutdown. I have noticed that. It's been going on for a little while. I'm not on social media, so I don't know a lot of things. Literally, like this is a side trail here, but I went to Troy's homecoming this past week. First time in like 18 years I've been back to Troy. And a friend of mine who passed away 10 years ago, I didn't know about it because I wasn't on social media. Right? It's crazy. I don't know a lot of things, but I do know about what's happening in our culture. Okay? I promise you I know. And people tell me all the time how bad it is, how bad it is, how bad it is. After the message last Sunday, this is what I'm going to start telling you. So I'm going to go in and tell you that this is what I'm going to tell you so that when you come, you already know what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say, praise God that He put you here for this moment. And praise God that He gave you the only message that will help change this moment. And that's the gospel. And praise God that you're here for this moment and that you are a born-again believer, that you will take on the mission that He called you to. It is rough out there. It is tough. There's a lot of pain and hurt and all these different things. And praise God that you're here in this moment for the gospel. Those who serve the Lord, that's what their heart is focused on, the kingdom of God. Their heart is focused on Christ. It's not focused on self. It's not focused on what will I gain from doing these things for the Lord. If you want to talk about gaining, their focus is how will the kingdom of God be? Well, how will the kingdom of God gain because I am serving Him with all my heart, soul, and mind? It's not about what am I going to get out of this. It's all about wanting God to be glorified out of all of this. And that is what he's saying here. He said those who feared the Lord, he listened, he gave attention, and he heard them, and a book of remembrance was written out before them. Church, I'll never forget the day that I was sitting in my room in college, and the Lord just I know it wasn't audible, but it sure felt audible to me. And the Lord just spoke to me in a moment that was just simply, David, why are you living like this? First you were legalistic, now you're running over to this other side. Why? My children don't live like this. And my heart broke, and in that moment I began to truly just have reverence and honor to the Lord. I began to realize through some people speaking into my life that I can't live this life in my own power, my own strength, and I was never called to do that. Can I tell you, that was one of the greatest reliefs I've ever heard, was when somebody said, David, you were never called to live this life, the scriptural, biblical life, on your own power or strength. The scripture says that God's given us everything that we need for life and godliness. How did he do it? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it began to change my life from me trying and hoping to gain something to me saying, God, I trust you and I'm going to simply abide and dwell in you and allow you to wash over me so that whatever comes out of my life would be from you and you alone. You wonder why I talk about abiding all the time. Because it was a pivotal moment in my life when I moved from this understanding of trying to do things to gain something or even a license to sin because of grace, that God said, no, you need to have a heart for the kingdom of God, for Christ and Christ alone, and that the Holy Spirit that dwells within you, when you abide in him, then you will serve him with all your heart, soul, and mind for the right reasons and with the right motive. So he says here that those who fear the Lord, he will turn his attention to them. I love this. Is this not what Jesus spoke about in the Sermon on the Mount? In Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse 1 really speaks of the legalistic view. Mainly the legalistic view, where it says this: beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Think about this for a second. The people in Malachi's day were doing things, trying to follow all these rules and regulations to gain something. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, if you practice your righteousness before men, if you are showing them, doing all these check boxes, marks, and all this legalistic stuff so that you can be lifted up and people will think that you're this great spiritual person, he says, there is no reward with your Father who is in heaven. There was no reward in Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. In fact, they were complaining to God and saying that it's worthless to serve you because there's no reward. But what did God say in verse 4, 6, and 18 about the reward of those whose hearts are his? In verse 4 of Matthew 6, it says, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Speaking about giving. In verse 6, talking about prayer. But you who pray, go into the inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 18, so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God notices. He hears the righteous, and he will reward them in due time. Isn't it interesting that the wicked, in their legalism, wanted a reward and didn't get it? But the righteous, whose heart were for the kingdom of God, were the ones who received the reward. Galatians 6 speaks of this as well. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he shall also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And then look at this. Let us not lose heart in doing good. Listen, you may be saying, David, it just looks like the world is winning. Corruption's winning. Listen, the people of Malachi's day even said, hey, it looks like the wicked escape, so we're going to go that route. They even said, hey, the arrogant seems to get ahead. They seem to prosper. All these things they're winning. And so instead of following you in Malachi 3, they said, we're just going to go over here. But Jesus tells us, hey, do not lose heart in doing good. You may not see the reward now, but one day, as the song says, it will be worth it all. For in due time, we will reap if we do not grow weary. Church, one of the greatest blessings of my life was when I was in that room and the Spirit of God just spoke to me, and I began to recognize that I can't do this, and I began to just abiding and dwelling. Have I been perfect? No. Has there been struggles? Yes. But let me tell you, there's a greater difference in my heart with joy and peace for the past 20 plus years. Why? Because my heart shifted from trying to do things on my own power in order to show how spiritual I was to seeking the kingdom of God and letting God do it in and through me. Church, we don't see all the reward. And even if we do, we must turn it back to the King, because it's only by Christ and Christ alone that things happen and fruit happens in our life. I know y'all get tired of hearing it, but I say it all the time and I mean it with all my heart. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's me. Because I've seen me try to do things before. It wasn't good. I've seen when I yield to the Spirit of God, and it's good. Because it's not me. He says, hey, I will remember, I'll write these things down. Of those who fear the Lord and esteem His name. And then look at verse 17, what He says about the righteous. Oh, I love this. They will be mine. Whew. God is speaking through Malachi, and He says, hey, those who fear the Lord, those whose heart are for the kingdom of God, not for themselves, He says, they will be mine. In fact, in verse 17, where it says, I prepare my own possession, it actually speaks of a special treasure. Like if you look at that word in the Hebrew, it's like a special treasure, something that is so special. God's saying, hey, these are mine. These are mine. And one day, they will fully see the reward of their labor. For He says, I am remembering. I'm writing them down. The Scripture speaks of when those who are in Christ are in heaven, that God will give them a crown that is basically of their life and what they've done. But that crown is not for them to wear. Like, look at me and all this stuff. It is to lay back before the throne of God and say, look at what you've done through a life that was willing to serve you with all their heart, soul, and mind. And then He says also in verse 17, not only are they mine, but I will spare them. I will show them mercy. There's no greater act or no greater visual of mercy than when a believer breathes his last and stands before the throne of God, and God does not see my sin, but He sees the blood of Jesus. And He says, come in, my good and faithful servant. Do we deserve that? No. In fact, we deserve hell. When I tell people that they ask me how I'm doing, I say better than I deserve. It's not because of any, it's simply out of the fact that I recognize that without Jesus, I would be a sinner headed straight to a Christless eternity in hell. But He says, I will show you mercy. The last thing I want us to look at here in this passage is in verse 18. It says, we saw the wicked's heart. We saw the heart of the righteous. And then we see that the Lord knows, or He sees our heart. In verse 18 it says, and I don't want to get into too much of this because it's going to be repeated in chapter 4 when we look at the day of the Lord. But it says here, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked. God will distinguish. He will show the difference between the righteous and the wicked, the wolves and the sheep. How? By looking at their heart. By looking at their heart. God knows your heart. You can deceive a lot of people. You can tell me, hey, David, I'm a believer. I trust in Jesus. Will you baptize me? Sure, I'll baptize you based on your profession of faith. We'll talk about all that. But you can deceive me, but you can't deceive God. You can tell me all day long, hey, David, I'm a Christian. Okay, praise God, I rejoice in that. But you can deceive me, but you can't deceive God. He knows your heart. Jeremiah 17:10 says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. Jeremiah 17:10. Proverbs 21:2 also speaks of this as well. Every man's way is right in his own eye, but the Lord weighs the heart. Or what about Hebrews 4, where it says that the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it says this, it says that it cuts through the bone and marrow and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. I'm here to tell you, you can try really hard to live out all these rules to show how good you are, but in that moment, you in your legalism are simply trying to do a works-based religion. God saved us and freed us so that when we trust Him and serve Him with all of our heart, that He will call us His own and that He will show us mercy. It's nothing that we can do in our own power or our own strength, church. And God looks at the heart of every person. Last week, Dr. Charles Smith from the University of Mobile said that probably the greatest untapped mission field is probably those who think that they're saved because of religion. Those who have this false idea, saying, I go to church, I tithe, I'm a member of a church. Remember, you can deceive the pastor, you can deceive the elders, you can deceive the deacons, you can deceive the church members, but you cannot deceive God. There is only one way to heaven, for Jesus said that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. The only way is through Jesus Christ, by surrendering your life to Christ, repenting of your sins, and receiving the free gift of eternal life. It's not about checking boxes. Church, God knows our heart and He separates the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the wolves, the righteous from the wicked. What's really interesting to me is the very last part of verse 18. And it says He separates between the ones who serve God and the ones who do not serve Him. Isn't it interesting that the ones who do not serve Him are the ones in Malachi chapter 3 saying, we did all these things, we served You, and we gained nothing from it. We did all these things, and we gained nothing from it. They would have said, I served You, Lord, and I got tired of it, so I ran the other way because I wasn't getting anything out of it. And God says, I will separate between those who truly served Me and those who did not. It reminds me of Matthew chapter 7. And it says this. Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not serve You? Did I not do these things? Specifically, it says, did we not prophesy in Your name? Did we not cast out demons in Your name? And in Your name perform many miracles? Did we not do all these things, Lord, for You? And He says, then I will declare to them, I never knew You. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness. Church, I want to close by us examining our heart. Why do we do what we do? Is it because we're trying to gain something from it? Or is it because we recognize that we could do nothing and God did everything by sending his son? Is it because we want to gain approval of man? Or is it because we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind and we want to serve him? There may be some in this room that say, David, I know my heart's not right. But I've struggled because everybody's thought that I was this godly, godly person. Everybody has said that man, like, this person's been a believer for all these times, but I know my heart's not right. Let me just tell you that that's where I was my senior year of high school. I'm in college. I said, Lord, everybody in Mobile, Alabama, thinks that I'm this godly person. And I've been struggling. But you know, here's the blessing. The enemy wanted to keep me quiet. The enemy wanted to say, nobody will ever be okay with the fact of how you have claimed this in Mobile, but yet for 2-3 years you ran from legalism to a license to sin. But can I tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Because I don't know about you, but if there are believers in this room, which there's many in here, whose heart is for the kingdom of God, that when somebody recognizes and says, hey, listen, my heart has not been right, but I am surrendering to the Lord today, you know what they do? They rejoice with you. They celebrate. Just as the scripture says that when one comes home, the angels are crying out, praising God. For some of you in this room, you may be struggling with doubt, and I don't want you to have doubt. This is what I would challenge you to do. If you're sitting here today and you're saying, David, I don't know if my heart's right, just get on your knees before God. Say, Father, show me. God's not playing hide and seek. He's not playing peekaboo. Get on your knees and just say, God, show me, search me and know me. Show me any evil way about me. If my heart is not pure, show me, oh God. He will. Be prepared for that. Pray expectingly. I will say that most of the time when somebody doubts, I encourage them to say, hey, one of the reasons that we doubt is because we don't see growth in our life. So I always encourage them to run back to abiding and dwelling in the Spirit, because I doubted all the time, but it was because I was focused on myself to do it instead of abiding and dwelling. All that to be said, the last 20 years has been absolutely incredible for the kingdom of God, because my heart went from legalism to a heart that said, I can't do it. But God can and He will.